Speaking unto you as we say in our language, As-salamu alaykum. Let me first make it clear to you that I requested of Imam Abu Ahmed that he do more than just introduce me. I told him that I said, you have to remember that you are a member of the leadership, your council on the council of imams, and you should have more than that kind of place on the program. You shouldn't just introduce me, you should have something to say. And I appreciate his words. The words were delivered very clearly and very forcefully. And we appreciate that very much. He is an imam that is really advancing the main purpose of this community and the good of the general society. Now, I am before you to address the need for the removal of images in religion that invite the members of the religion to worship or to address those images as deities or as God. First, let me express a belief that is in Scripture, and it is a kind of general principle, but it says something that I think will help us understand our problem, and it may be a good start for this address. We read in the Bible these words: a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Regarding these images in religion, especially the crucifix, I believe that what I'm about to mention to you is a product of that tree. There is now a movement headed by a man who was once a member in the Nation of Islam, officially called in those days the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. There is a man who now heads the religious organization, our religion. In fact, he heads the religion. He has formed his own religion. And he has also formed his own Bible. His Bible is called the Black Bible. It's not the cheap effort. He spent some money to put it together and to have it printed. The pictures you find in that Bible are mostly pictures of black people. And Satan in that Bible is depicted as a white man. The scene of Adam and Eve in the garden shows Adam and Eve black, and the serpent representing the whisper of the devil is a white man. This is without any question black reaction in religion to white man image in religion. If that's one of the fruits of the crucifix, then we have to acknowledge as right-minded, sensible people that is a bad fruit. We hope to establish our reason for insisting upon the removal of all images in religion. And that is our first reason, that it produces reactions in the conscience of people that don't identify racially with the image, that are bad for society, and that represents only the furtherance of that kind of confusion and corruption. We are not attacking Christianity. We respect Christianity with sacred respect. We are not attacking Jesus, peace be on him. We respect Jesus Christ with sacred respect. Let us continue. And now I would like to go to the positive side of the crucifix. That is to say that it has its good influence as well. And we as intelligent people should be able to win its good influence, or its good utility, with its bad influences, if you agree with us, and its harmful utility, and make a decision as to whether it is acceptable to leave the image in society or to remove it. Another reason we have for the removal, for insisting upon the removal of all images in religion, is that the crucifix, while it is true that it does have some benefit in terms of the kind of catharsis or the kind of purging of wrong-mindedness on the part of people that it offers or that it holds, it has some benefits. When we look at a human being or a human form, physically nailed to a cross, and we're told that that person was a good person, that that person had no malice, no ill will, that that person was well-natured and meant well to everybody. It does draw our sympathies toward him. And when our sympathies are drawn toward a good thing, it does have the effect of awakening our good nature and our good conscience. So that's the good side of it. That's the good side of it. But in spite of it having that kind of influence to provoke the movement of there, good sentiment, moral sentiment, compassion, etc., in the one who looks upon it, for races that cannot identify with it racially, it has a reverse effect. It has very negative effects. And not only for races that can identify with it, even for those who identify with it, simply because it's in their image, it has a reverse effect. It has a negative effect. Now, people, there is an understanding in psychology that the human conscience can be transported and detached and lose all identity with the concern that it previously belonged to. If you can transfer that particular consciousness and its concerns to an image. In very early times of man's cultural growth or evolution, the psychologist or the psychiatrist and the priest was all in one person. He was the magic worker, or the witch doctor, as we call him now. He took on a bad name when the sciences were evolved. The witch doctor. And the witch doctor, he would form an image, and he would use that image to drum up emotions, sentiments and emotions, and draw those sentiments and emotions to the image until the person become almost spellbound. In fact, many of the people he was treating would fall out. They would lose consciousness, and they would fall out. Some would go into fits. But after the experience was over, most of his patients felt better because he had detached their own consciousness from the subject of that consciousness, from the owner of that consciousness. He had detached their own concerns from the owner of those concerns.
from the owner of those concerns. And he has made it possible for them to experience their own existence in the image rather than in themselves. And I tell you with scientific proof, I tell you that that's what has happened to many non-Caucasian people all over the world, where that image has been established, where that image has been accepted of a white man, or of a European-looking man, or of a European-Jewish-looking man on the cross. They have been successful through who am I talking about? I'm talking about people who saw this utility in the crucifix. People who didn't mean well. People who wanted to capture the productive forces of other people for their own selfish purposes. People who wanted to empty out the concern for the individual's life and attach it to an image so that they could drive those individuals to inhuman extremes, to inhuman conditions, suppress them with inhuman circumstances, inhuman burdens, and they would find it possible to survive and be happy all the time, every day, because their reality was no longer in themselves, their reality was in the image. Now, let me see if I can explain this in a different way. You know, you can experience a thing factually, and you can experience a thing through the medium of fantasy. You can experience a thing factually, and you can experience a thing vicariously. Vicariously, we mean that you have become so absorbed in the thing that you are beholding that you experience now what that thing is experiencing.
That's right.
So I can be enjoying music, and you can become so absorbed in watching me enjoy music that you become me. And now you enjoy music, just as I'm enjoying music. And you are enjoying the music through me. And your situation is not my situation. I'm free to enjoy the music. They have you handcuffed. They have your feet shackled. They have your mouth muzzled. But you see me, and you are doing the same thing I'm doing with your hands shackled, your feet shackled, your mouth muzzled, but you are doing the same thing I'm doing. In your soul, inside, you are bouncing with me. You're doing everything I'm doing. You're doing everything I'm doing. But you're not doing it factually. You're doing it vicariously. Now, let us go on to explain what we're talking about. So in psychology, this is called transference, where the person's own reality has been transferred to something else. Now, suffering people will identify with a suffering image, or with an image that represents the sufferer. It's easy to get the suffering to identify with an image that represents the sufferer. So no matter what color he is, no matter what ethnic image he has, if you see suffering, the human being is more a spiritual creature than he is a physical creature. So if they can show you that spiritually you are the same, he is a spiritual sufferer. You are a spiritual sufferer. His free spirit is oppressed. Yours too. He has been wronged in the world. You too. He has been denied the freedom of movement. His hands are nailed. Yours too. He has been denied and been denied the freedom of progress. His feet are nailed. Yours too. He has had his heart injured. His heart is bleeding, but he can't do anything about it. Yours too. If they can make a picture that identifies very closely with your own reality, then it's easy to transfer your reality to that image. And then you can stay in shit house. You can stay in the dungeon. You can stay in ignorance. And you can find satisfaction through the image. Now excuse my language. Occasionally I will say S-H-I-T. Excuse my language. But if we have been able to come that far and see what we are talking about and understand what we are talking about, I said we are on the way to removing these images. Because once any intelligent-minded, free-thinking person sees this reality, he has to commit himself for life to get rid of that image. We're still on the second reason. The second reason is a psychological reason. The second reason is this thing that it does to our psychology that robs us of attachment with our own reality. Now, if I'm correct, then won't this explain the lack of motivation in the black man, the lack of community of aggressiveness on the part of the black community? Won't this explain the lack of stability on the part of the black community? And won't this also explain the division and the lack of unity on the part of the black community? And not only on the part of the black community, but on the part of the Hispanic community, and on the part of all the other communities that haven't been able to identify with the image, in its physical reality. Now let's look at what's the kind of message that comes from this image to the white man. So the white man, he sees a sign too. And if he is suffering, he identifies with the sign Jesus also. But he has something that you don't have. He knows that Jesus is also called Lord. And he knows that you ain't no Lord. And he knows that in the world situation that he lives in, the white man is called. And that white man on the cross is called love. So in his subconscious, all through his trust, he is satisfied with that identity in a way that you can totally satisfy. You satisfied with it because he was good man. And he suffered too. But God was redeeming him and took him up. So you find satisfaction in that place that I do, because I now have become the meaning of the world. I do have hope. The Lord that redeemed the image will redeem me one day. And I too will have a place of glory and dignity in the afterworld. But what's the idea with all the means you have at your fingertips. Work for the afterlife, the afterworld. But don't forget your share in this world.
Potential
for growth, and that all men are entitled to ownership, freedom, and ownership of material possessions, political freedom, the right to aspire to the highest office of the United States, along with every other man or every other citizen. This is a concept in the Constitution of the United States. Oh no. The Constitution of the United States recognizes the sacred dignity of human person. It does not give priority to ethnicity over what is essentially human being. And as a consequence of that particular recognition being in the Constitution of the United States and in the life of the American people, we have found that the movement of freedom and justice have traveled down ethnic concerns to establish the human concern and to do justice by it. We have no problem with the Constitution of the United States, but the crucifix itself is in direct conflict with the spirit of that Constitution. When it holds up the picture of one race and calls it Lord, in the face of the fact that white man pretending to be a scientist, within the last 100 years, falsely established that black people are racially inferior to whites, that the white man and the black man are not of the same substance. They are not of the same, and they're not on the same level in the social evolution, the cultural evolution of man. That the black man has been fixed by divine decree into a lower level of social and cultural evolution, and that the white man has to always be the guardian of the black man. This is what they established in their so-called sciences.
That's right.
Not too long ago.
That's right.
This is history.
That's right.
In the face of that now, how can they dare tolerate the lifting of a white image or a Caucasian image as a deity, as a god, as an image of God's Son, in whom God manifests? And no wonder all the faith we have in religion is spiritual faith. No wonder we get no place in religion other than emotional bang bang. It's because that image says that God chose the white man as a medium for his expression. Not a black man, a white man for the medium of his expression. Some of you will say, well, man, it could have been anybody. It could have been a black one. And if it had been a black one, the white man would be in our situation after a few centuries.
That's right.
So we don't accept that. And some will say, well, what about your Prophet Muhammad? Was he a Negro? Yes. Was he an African? No. By the white man's classification, a Negro is anybody with any amount of African blood in his veins. And according to the history of our prophet, peace be on him, he had African blood and Arab blood, or Caucasian blood in his veins, and the two of them met and made out. No, but that's not admissible. I only said that for emotional effect. even admissible in this discussion. The point is this. Here is the point. Muhammad was not a god. He accepted that he was not a god. He accepted that he was a human being just like us. In fact, the sacred scripture that he delivered, it says in the sacred words of God in the Quran, tell them, Muhammad, I am a mortal just like you. Now, didn't leave any doubt, didn't leave any question. Didn't say I'm a mortal and stop work. Because some would say, yes, he was a mortal with the divine life in him. Said, tell them, I am a mortal just like you.
My wife, Baha.
In answer to what was corrupted in the New Testament, where Jesus said, I in you and you in me, saying that we are one nature. We are the same essence. Whatever is taught in me, the possibility exists also for you. Now, let me say again, the Quran is not a white picture book. In fact, it has no pictures at all. Not even our prophet. We don't have a picture of our prophet. There is no picture of him existing. God directed him to outlaw any imagery of that kind. Now, let me proceed and understand now that he himself came in the movement of truth that was before him. He came into it by God's will to complete it. So whatever he accepted, it has its justification in the prophets that were behind him. Now, let me proceed a little further with this. Another point is that the Quran, our holy book, says there never existed any race on this earth that God did not raise up from among them a prophet. So our book doesn't make prophethood of a white concern, a white dignity. Our book makes prophethood the dignity of all people. And our book goes on to say that there are prophets named in the scripture and others that are not named. And it says also, and I repeat it again, that never was there a community of people that did not have a prophet. All the communities behind Muhammad had prophets. All the nations, all the races had their prophets. It is generally believed among Muslims presently on this earth, and it has been believed for a long time, that the prophet called Luqman the Wise in the Quran was a black African. So we think we can go on now that we have pointed to that kind of wrong and injustice. We can go on now and finish that part and go to our final part, the final part in this address. In the final of the crucifix, and it's a sign because it touches the human psychology in an effort to preserve human morality. So is science. We see in this a step in the long progression of society's effort to preserve morality for the individual and for society. We know that when the moral concern leaves society, the society is thrown into confusion, chaos, and pretty soon there's social turmoil, destruction and abuses of human rights. Tyrants come into the room, tyrants come into position, and dominate the good life of the people. One great philosopher, Western philosopher too, I can't recall his name right now, he said, political leaders don't determine the future of society. Our future of peace. It's the moral context of that society that determines its future. Because once the moral concept of that society is muddled or corrupted or destroyed, the people will be open for the time to fish in the waters of that sensitivity. And so bait out to them that will enslave them. And how many of us have declared the promise of more money and gave our allegiance to a tower? How many of us have had the promise of more life and more sex and more freedom for our love and accepted the tower? In fact, many of us who go to the polls, we go there for moral reasons. We fuse the man because he will wipe our weaknesses and not bear our weaknesses to bring strength. So we choose that. We choose the weak leader that will allow us to keep on going with our weaknesses. Is that right? Yes, we know this to be a fact. So in the whole process, we need to survive. The fate of that society is in the hands of the biggest criminal that can come up, or the biggest thief that can rise in the world. Whoever is in the leader of the biggest will take over the life of that people. But people will die. They will lose their life. They will even sacrifice their wife and their husband. They will even sacrifice their children for a moral principle that they have been converted upon, a moral principle that they think is crucial to the whole life of the people. Yes, they will die. Right. So moral concern makes men moral. And a tyrant can't deal with people like that. And what we're saying here, that the crucifix that is supposedly designed to stimulate consciousness in people that look on it, and in that activity, preserve the moral life of them or for society, has so many other negative kinds of influences coming from it that it doesn't justify us even keeping it for that utility. Before going to the final conclusion, I want to talk more on this one. Because it needs very much more time.
Go ahead.
And we don't have time. Because we put ourselves on time today. And I'm going to have to complete it. But let us look at the symbolism now. Symbolism. Isn't the cross a symbol? Now, if Jesus went up in heaven, whole soul and body, then I know, maybe you don't, but I know that dying too was a sin. How come I know that? I know that because the Bible says, thus cannot enter the kingdom.
Lord.
That's how I know it. I know that the Bible says death cannot enter the kingdom. So I have to look for an interpretation now. They say Jesus is in heaven, he's beyond earth, and then so on he died. Now I have to look for an interpretation. It doesn't apologize for it. That came out in the kingdom. All right? So then Jesus' body must also be a symbol. So we have one symbol crucified upon another symbol. Is that right? If you follow me. If you follow me, then one symbol has been crucified upon another symbol. Reduce this to manageable. That helps.